develop it, do what's called sermon building. And I normally preach an alliterated outline, which is normally where all your points start with the same thing or maybe end with the same thing or sound the same. And I do that because to me it's the way I think and it's the way I feel like I can convey information, and I hope that you can hear it, you can see it. And when you leave the church house, be able to go home and say, hey, what did he preach on today? Well, he preached on, like Brother Jeff did in Sunday school, the plan, the path, and the purpose, and the prophet. He taught on those things in Sunday school, and that's the way I like to preach as well. It's the way I understand things, and I feel like I can convey information that way better. But today I want to preach really five short verses from five different books in the Bible and hopefully convey to you how important our church is. During this Thanksgiving month, it's important to realize we have a lot to be thankful for away from here. And we think about those things, family and friends and the house we live in, the clothes that we have, and so forth and so on. But when's the last time you were really thankful for your church? When is the last time you really thought about the church and how great of a blessing it is to be a part of a local New Testament church? I tell you what, we're blessed. We're blessed to live in the church age. We're blessed to live in the Bible Belt. We're blessed to be a part of West End Baptist Church. And you ought to leave here every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, every day that you're not here, think about the church and say, boy, I'm a blessed person to be a part of such a good church. And I'm thankful for our brothers and sisters in my life. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for all of you who make up West End Baptist Church. And the text we read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 was not just a one-off for Paul. Paul didn't just tell the Romans, I'm thankful for you, and that was all he said through all of his writings. No, in fact, this was his custom in most of his writings. If you'll look in the New Testament, we're going to hit five different books this morning, and I'll show you this. It was his custom in his writing. He would start with a salutation. He would say, hey, I'm Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the church at wherever. And then he would just about always go into the sentence, and I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. If I could say anything this morning, it would be just like Paul. I would say, hey, I'm Brother Craig. God has blessed me to be the pastor of this church. And I just want to say I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this church. And here in the letter to the Romans, Paul doesn't generalize his thankfulness, his thank you, but he's very specific about his gratitude. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, the verse that's on the screen there, he said, I'm thankful for your faith. He said, it's spoken of throughout the world. What a great compliment that the Apostle Paul would tell the Romans. I'm thankful for the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that for the faith that you have exhibited, and it is evident and it is spoken of throughout all of the world. What an accolade, what a compliment, what a testimony that the Apostle Paul would say, I'm thankful, I thank God for your faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 10, 17, Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here in the text, he says, you got that kind of faith. That's the kind of faith you have. You have faith that pleases God. You have faith that helps other people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And he said, I'm so thankful for your faith. I'd say the same about the folks of West End Baptist Church. You have faith that sees beyond what's seen. You have faith that sees what can be. You have faith by looking toward God, looking to God. Say, God, what could you do in this church, through this church, in this town? That's faith. That's great faith. It's real easy to come in and say, well, we're just small in number. We can't do this or we can't do that. But faith sees beyond what is possible. And you guys have done that. Our church has done that. You see faith for your loved ones being saved. Nearly every Wednesday night when we call out prayer requests, somebody will say, hey, pray for my loved one. Pray for my friend. Pray for my coworker that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You know what that is? That's faith that God can truly save our loved ones. We have faith in our missionaries and faith in soul winning campaigns that we support them all around the world. When you give money by way of missions, you're saying, hey, by faith, I'm trusting that these missionaries are going to see souls saved. They're going to see fruit for their labor, and we demonstrate faith by doing that. You see the need for more space and updates of the space we have. In the last couple of years, we've gutted that foyer and built that place out there. We may have to close it back up and build Sunday school classes out there, but I hope we don't have to do that. We're looking for more space, looking for God to give us some options. You saw the need for new restrooms and other things in our building. And boy, God's just been good to us, but it's been the faith and the drive and the vision of God's people that has allowed those things to happen. Buying the bus last week was a tremendous blessing. It's something we need. It's something we need for every group. Every generation of our church needs that vehicle. And I appreciate the faith that you demonstrated. You've trusted God with me as we've tried to follow His will. And today I want to say I am thankful for our church, and I am thankful for the faith that I believe is spoken of throughout all the world. We have a worldwide church. We support missionaries around the globe, and I'm so thankful for what God is doing through our church. So today, I'm thankful for your faith. And then I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I've got the words on the screen there, but you can follow along in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Not only was Paul thankful to the Romans for their faith, but here we see that the Apostle Paul was thankful to the Corinthians for their willingness to grow and serve. He says there, here in chapter 1, verse 4, he says, I thank my God always. Same exact format. I'm Paul the Apostle. He makes a few other statements, and then he goes into the thank yous. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here in this letter to the church at Corinth, Paul has to correct them on a few things. If you'll read 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul was pretty stern with the Corinthians. He had to straighten them out and keep them on course. But he was still very impressed and thankful for their desire to grow and go for the Lord. In verse 5, he said that in everything you're enriched by Him. In other words, that you're growing in Christ, that you're adding to your faith. And he said, in all utterance. In other words, that you're speaking the gospel. You're opening your mouth and getting the gospel out to the area surrounding Corinth. And he said, and in all knowledge. He said, I'm so thankful for the knowledge that you have received and the knowledge that you're growing in concerning the things of God. He said, in attendance, I'm proud. He said, in having your Bible in hand, I'm proud. Eager to learn, I'm proud. Sitting on the edge of your seat when the man of God is preaching, he said, I'm so proud of that and I'm so thankful for that. And in verse 7, he says, and you're not lacking any gifts. He says, so that you come behind in no gift. He said, you have the gifts. The gifts of preaching and witnessing and singing and healing and teaching and on and on. He said, for that I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, and I want to go on record today and say the same about West End Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for the desire we have of a group of people who just want to know more about Jesus. I love the old song, More and More About Jesus. You know, if we'll ever just get a desire to know Him, know more about Him, know Him in the power of His resurrection, to know Him and to make Him known in our world, we'll be doing the thing that Paul was thankful for in Corinth. Let me just say, God has blessed us with a tremendously talented church. Just what we were a part of this morning. Man, God's blessed us with a tremendously talented church. Not just in music, not just in singing, but in so many ways. I said on Wednesday night, it's funny how God can take every church, and it seems like every church has a plumber. Every church has an electrician. Every church has somebody who just loves to cut grass. Every church has somebody who knows how to make banana pudding and cornbread. Every church has somebody who can sew and who can hem a dress. Every church has somebody like that. And it's amazing how God has put these little cells all over the world, just the right people at the right time in the right place who all complement each other. And we have folks who can teach and folks who can preach and folks who can sing. And we're so blessed to have the folks with the gifts that they have. And like the Apostle Paul, I'd like to say I'm so thankful for all of you. And I'm so thankful that you have used your gifts and talents for the Lord. And then I would say, thirdly, not only your faith, not only your gifts and talents, but I want to say I'm thankful today for your fellowship in prayer. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. We're just going to move straight through the New Testament this morning. Galatians. We're in Corinthians, so you go to Galatians, Ephesians, and then the next book you'll come to will be the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3, we have the same format by Paul. He says, I'm Paul the Apostle. He says, Paul with Timothy or Timotheus. He says, we're the servants of Jesus Christ. And he makes some other comments, and then he goes into his thank yous. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. And he says this, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. But he says in 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. You know, it's something very special to have people who pray for you. We ought to consider it a real joy and a real privilege when somebody says, would you pray for me? You know what they're saying? They're saying, I believe in you enough to believe that you have rid yourself the best you can of sin and that you can go boldly into the throne of grace and take my requests with you and give them to God. What a privilege. We ought to consider that one of the highest privileges we had. And Paul told these Philippians, he said, man, I thank God that we can have fellowship one with another and fellowship in prayer. Think about this for just a minute. The book of Philippians may be one of the greatest letters in the Bible. And perhaps I should say it this way because you don't want to say one portion of the Word of God is better than the others, but maybe we would say Philippians is probably the most quoted book in all the Bible. Think about some of the highlights of the book of Philippians. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. How many of you know that verse? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We know that verse. He said, God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. That's in this book. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That's in this book. He says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. He said, think on these things. That's in this book. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Everybody knows that verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He says in this same book, but my God shall supply all of your needs. You ever need a go-to book? You ever need a book in the Bible? Say, hey, I just need a book of encouragement. Pick up Philippians. It's just a good, solid, I'm talking about good, solid verses that you can memorize and understand. It's so solid. And out of all these classic verses, they're now classic. Paul probably didn't know at the time they would eventually be classics. But he was telling the Philippians this for the first time. This is the first time they heard that my God will supply your need. This is the first time they heard, anybody heard, I can do all things through Christ. But I believe that they could, I believe they could handle such meat and such doctrine because they were people of prayer. I believe God entrusted them with these verses. I believe God entrusted them with this truth because they were a group of people who prayed unto God. If we want our church to continue, I say we must continue in prayer. If we want our church to really continue and grow and go forward and do more for the cause of Christ, we must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. I believe what God has done here in the last 98 years, and more specifically is in the last 2 years, is a direct result of praying. Men and women praying. Men and women joining their hearts together with other saints, trusting God for the impossible. Trusting God for the impossible. We didn't know when we were meeting in Brother Bobby and Miss Tiffany's basement that God would have us in this building. We had no idea. We didn't know what we were going to do. But God knew. The folks who were at West End at that time, we'd have to just be honest and say, hey, the building needed some work. Didn't have the labor, didn't have the resources. They were at a point where they didn't know what they were going to do. But you know what God was doing in heaven? He wasn't wringing his hands. He wasn't scratching his head. He was just saying, I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I'll take them and put them with them and just continue the work that's been done for over 90 years in social circles. Just keep it going. Just keep it going. Just keep it going. God knew exactly what He was going to do. And that's what we need to be, is just continue to be people of prayer, saying, God, we don't know where we're going. God, we have no direction. God, we have no plan. God, we have no resources. God, we have no hope without You. And then give our need to God and let God make a clear, simple path for us. I want to say today I'm thankful for our church, but I'm thankful we're a praying church. Thankful we're a praying church. Every Wednesday night we come together and pray. A lot of times on Sunday night we'll come together, pray around the altar. I'm thankful for the messenger we have. Just a simple app or a simple tool, and all day long, people will post prayer requests. Pray for my aunt. Pray for my friend. Pray for my coworker. Pray for so-and-so. Pray for me. I'm going to the doctor. Pray, pray, pray. And you know what people do? They respond and say, praying for you. Praying for you. Praying for you. Praying for you. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to have a praying church. Listen, we can organize church. We can have church services. But the church is what happens when we're away from here. That's the church. We're the church. And to have folks who would partner with us in prayer, I want to say today, I'm thankful for those things. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So we're in Philippians. Just go one more book to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 in verse 3 and 4. You'll see Paul, he carries the same format. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, he's with Timothy again, and he makes some more comments. And then he comes to verse number 3. He said, we give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And here's what I want to pull out this morning. He says, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. The love that you have to all the saints. We've talked about the faith. We've talked about the growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about the prayer, how we can partner together in prayer. But Paul says here, I'm so thankful for the love that you have one for another. The love that you have one for another. There's not a greater compliment that Paul could give to the church at Colossae than to say you're the lovingest church around. I would say that about West End Baptist Church. We're a loving church. I consider us to be a friendly church. Sometimes folks are shy. Sometimes folks don't know how to reach out to people and go and communicate and talk. But I would say over time, getting to know people, different things, we are a real loving church. And Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And He said, because you have love one for another. He didn't say people will know you're my disciples because you carry the biggest Bible. He didn't say people will know you're my disciples because you wear a tie or don't wear a tie. He didn't say people will know you're my disciples because of what's on your sign out front. No, He said people will know you're my disciples when you have love one for another. You want to demonstrate Christianity at its fullest. You want to demonstrate what Christ is and who Christ was. Have love one for another. And I want to say today I'm so thankful that we have a loving church. Paul said something like this, if we speak with the tongues of men and angels. In other words, if I'm the greatest singer. I can sing like a canary. If I can vocalize, if I'm the greatest pulpiteer and I can really preach the Word of God with class and dignity. He said, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. Matter of fact, he said, you're like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, when you sing so great or preach so great, but yet you don't love people, he said, you might as well be banging pots and pans together, because that's what it sounds like in heaven. Banging and beating. But man, love, it's where it's at. You know, people probably won't ride by on Cherokee Road right here and say, what a mighty structure West End Baptist Church is. Probably won't. Okay? People probably won't ride by or hear of our church and say, boy, they got every program you could think of, because we don't yet. Okay? We don't have all the programs we would like to have. We don't have all the things that maybe some churches in the community have. We don't have all the bells and whistles. But you know what thrills my heart when people say, this is a friendly church. It's a loving church. Y'all just seem to love each other. That's what it's about, loving one another. And I'll just say this, I'll take unity and harmony any day over size and circle of influence. Any day. I'll take unity any day. Unity's where it's at. Harmony's where it's at. And I thank God for my church. And I thank God for your love one for another. Let's go one more and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 and 3, same format, Paul. He says, I'm Paul the apostle. He makes some other comments and then he says this, we give thanks to God always for you, verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then he says this in verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing, your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. You know, these churches, they all had faith, okay? The church at Corinth, the church at Colossae, the church at Philippi, the church in Rome, all of these churches had faith to some degree. Else they wouldn't be a church. All of them had prayer. I believe they were all praying churches to some degree. And I believe some of them were growing and learning at a different rate than others were. And I believe they all loved on people. But you got to understand that most of these Christians in the Bible were all first generation Christians. Okay? So learning to love other people was different. They had grown up in the law. They were steeped in the law, and it was hard to see around the law sometimes. And so to take on the law of Christ, which was love everybody, love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God, and all these different things, sometimes that was difficult for these Christians. But I believe they genuinely loved one another. And they all had their qualities. They all had their strengths, just like we do. I believe our church has some strong points. And the next church down the road, they've probably got some qualities we don't have. And the next church down the road, they probably have some qualities this church and the next church doesn't have. So it's real easy to throw rocks and say, well, if you're not everything, then you're nothing. No, let's don't be that way. Let's just say, hey, this is what we're good at, and this is what they're good at. And together, we fit together in the body of Christ. And but this group in 1 Thessalonians, they were a unique church, because he didn't say a whole lot about their faith. He didn't say a whole lot about their love, but he did say a whole lot about their work. He said, remembering your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. I believe he was talking about working the fields, working to see folks come to know Christ. I believe he was talking about laboring for the love of Christ, or laboring with the love of Christ, making sure that the love of Christ got to people. And sometimes that took work to get it to them, because they didn't understand how to give it, and folks in the community didn't understand how to receive it because of the law. And then the patience that they have, they understood that Rome wasn't built in a day. And can I just say, neither are churches. Churches are not built in a day. You see a church come up, and boy, they buy a piece of property. Next thing you know, there's a building there. You go, man, it just seems like they build a church overnight. Hey, listen, 10 years ago, they might have been in a basement. 5 years ago, they might have been in a small building. You see what I'm saying? It takes time, and sometimes we only see what's on the surface. We don't see the work, the patience of hope that was put in before the fact, the labor of love, the work that was put in. And Paul said, I'm thankful. I thank you for working the fields, for working your class, for working with the singers, for cutting the grass, for cleaning the building, for doing what's seen and doing what's unnoticed. Paul said, I want to thank you for all those things. And he said in verse number 7 of the same chapter, he said, you've been an ensample. He uses the term ensample, which would be close to our word today, example. He said, you've been an example. And he said in verse 8, he said, your faith is spread abroad in every place. Also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. What a tremendous compliment that the Apostle Paul would say, hey, your work speaks for itself. What we're seeing coming out of the church in Thessalonica is beyond measure. It's beyond words. He said, I thank you for your work. Can I just say today, I want to thank all of you for your work. It was a long way to get to this. But I wanted to say this, I want to thank you for your work. Thank you for your labor of love in this place. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for singing. Thank you for witnessing. Thank you for bringing friends. Thank you for coming in and straightening chairs and picking up trash and cleaning toilets and cutting grass and picking up limbs and saw somebody sweeping off the porch this morning. Thank you for that. Thank you. You teachers, thank you. You singers, thank you. You men who preach and teach, and ladies who teach, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you do. But can I tell you, you're not doing it for me, you do it for Him. It's a labor of love. It's a work of faith that we're a part of. And you may not see many rewards here on this side, but I believe great is our reward in heaven. There's all kind of things behind the scene that makes this church happen. Folks who pay bills. Folks who keep up the website. Folks who post things on Facebook just to keep the information going. Listen, the days of newspaper are over. People go, I don't understand why we've got to have that. Well, 30 years ago, every church took out an ad in the paper. Every church. Every week. A church took out an ad in the paper every week. And those days are gone now. Facebook has replaced that. And it's important that we do those things. Somebody has to do all that. Somebody has to play. Somebody has to work with the singers so at least they are all on the same page when they stand up here. Somebody has to teach kids. You realize that right now while we're in here listening to me go on and on and on, there's somebody out in the fellowship hall who's got a room full of kids out there so that we can be up here. What a blessing. There's somebody in the nursery changing diapers, about to pull their hair out over there. I don't know who's over there today. And Brother Bobby Ray used to have a full head of hair. And he kept the nursery a few weeks and done him in. But you know what? There's people over there serving, 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 serving. And for that, we ought to be thankful. You've set an example, and I could not be more proud of our church family. I thank God for our church. I thank God for your labor of love. Now let me say this. Perhaps today you feel a little down. Maybe you feel like your labor is in vain. Well, I've taught my class and it just doesn't seem to grow. I teach my class and feel like I don't feel like it's getting the information to their ears and to their heart. Maybe you feel like the other work that you do around the building or for the Lord is something that nobody sees, nobody cares. But can I just say, we as a church family, we're thankful for you. We're thankful for you. You may not always get a thank you card, you may not always get a pat on the back. And I want to do a better job of being thankful, not just from here, but privately and personally. But I want to say I'm thankful for you. Today, maybe you're not part of this church. You're not a member of West End Baptist Church. But you sense and feel that This is where God would have you to demonstrate your faith. This is where God would have you love on people. People have loved on you, and you say, you know what, I'd like to join with those people in faith and in growing and in loving and in serving and in building and all those things. Listen, if you'd like to be a part of our church, all you have to do is let me know. Come during the altar call. Come after the service. Come before the service. Say, hey, you know what? I want to be a part of what's happening at West End. And then perhaps today you're not feeling as emotional and grateful and spiritual about the church as other people. Maybe it's because church has become ritual instead of a relationship. Church can be that way. Can I just say there's been times in my life church has become ritual? Anybody else be honest and say, hey, I've been there? There's times you go just to go. 9:30, Sunday school, 10:30, church, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, go on Wednesday night. Why? Because it's the church day. We just got to go, just got to go. And sometimes it becomes ritual. It becomes routine. But man, one of the best things you can ever do is get it back to relationship. Realize this is your family. I think Brother Todd might have said it on Wednesday night. There's people in this room that are closer to us than our own family. You may have people feel like that. And if you have your family and you're close to them, you're blessed. But if you've got good close friends in a church, you're doubly blessed. There's nothing like God's people. And today I didn't preach on salvation. But if you join this church or join another church 100 times, you can join every church in social circle. But unless you're a part of His church, you won't understand what we're talking about in this church. Okay? This will just be religion to you. You know, man, we went there and sang some songs off the screen. They had the heat pumped up in there. And, you know, we was about to roast in there. I just couldn't wait to get home and get to the wing place. You know, and it'll just become that. But man, when you fall in love with Him and realize God's given us a platform, God's given us a building, God's given us a hub for labor. I now can have a place I can go to, get energized, get charged, and then go win my family. I now have a place I can go to and from this hub reach my friends and family and co-workers for the cause of Christ. This place gives me a place to teach. It gives me a place to use my talent to sing for the Lord. It gives me a place to use my lawnmower for the Lord. It gives me a place to use my broom for the Lord. It gives me a place to serve the Lord with gladness. And we see that it's more, it's bigger than who we are. And it's all about Him. It will change the way we feel about church. So I say this today, if you don't know Christ, you're not a part of His church, being a part of this church won't mean very much to you at all. So today I want to get us to stand. I'll get Miss Elena to come play a song. I want to get you to do 3 things today. I want to ask you to evaluate your heart. And I would say this, are you saved? If I could just simply put it, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ? Have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, take you to heaven when you die? You know without a shadow of a doubt you're ready to meet the Lord. Then that's number one. If you've got that done, hey, you're well on your way. Number two, are you serving? Are you serving the Lord? I told you this morning how grateful we are for people that serve. Don't you want to be a part of that group and say, hey, I don't want to just come and ride the pine. I don't want to just come and sit in a pew, but I want to serve. I want to find a place to serve. All my life, with the exception of my first 2 years, I've been in church. I was born in 74. Mom and Daddy got saved in 76. And as far as I know, all that time, you know, as far as I can remember, we've been in church. And every church I've ever been in, it seems like there's always been a peppermint lady. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Somebody who always had peppermints. They say, here, hon, I got some candy. Y'all want some candy? Maybe the candy lady. Maybe the candy guy. And I think back on some of those people, and they thought it was just a small token. Here, hon, you want a peppermint? But you know, from heaven's view, I think God was looking down and going, serve on. Serve on. You've done it unto the least of these. Because you've done it to them. You've done it for me. Serve on. And they say, Lord, it's just a cough drop, just a peppermint, just a Laffy Taffy. But it means a lot in heaven. In my life, there's always been people who just stood at the door. Sometimes they got assigned that position. Sometimes nobody put them there. They just ended up there every single Sunday morning, every Sunday night, sometimes on Wednesday night. And they were just the greeter. Didn't get paid. Didn't get their name on the sign. Any of the printings that went out from the church, it didn't have so-and-so's name on it. They were just the unrecognized greeter. But from heaven's point of view, God would just look down and say, serve on. Serve on. Serve on, friend. Serve on. You've done it to the least of these. You shook their hand when they come in. You told them, have a good day. Welcome to church. You thought it was something small. You thought it was meaningless. But in heaven's eyes, it's just as important as what this man does right here. Just as important. Why? Because if they're not loved there, they'll never be loved here. If they're not loved here, it'll be hard for me to ever love them from here. So we see how important our role is in the church. And I just want to say today, thank you. Thank you for serving God. Thank you for being faithful to God. I thank God for those in my life who I never personally got to say thank you. They're with the Lord now. Men and women who impacted my life. Some of you are thinking of some right now. They made a difference in your life, and you didn't even realize then they were doing it out of love. What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. We're going to open the altars. Maybe you'd just like to come today in way of thanksgiving.